Good morning, Lighthouse. Welcome to this resurrection morning. As we start off, can we just give the Lord a hand clap of appreciation? Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are celebrating it today, a day today that has forever changed our lives. And so I'm so thankful for that. A few announcements we want to make you aware of. You will notice a lot of Easter hats this morning, so that is supporting our district organization. The women's group has asked us to wear Easter hats, and so anyone who chose to do that, after service, we will be getting a picture. We'll meet right over in this corner, so right after church, if you can just meet with us briefly for a quick picture. Also, please save the date. The first Sunday in May, we will be praying over all graduates. So if you have a high school graduate or a college graduate, invite them to come to that service. We would love to pray over their future, and we will do that during service on the first Sunday in May. Also, how many of you enjoyed the closer parking this morning? So we are super excited about that. We want to thank you for your giving. We took an offering, and we had over $2,400 come in to help support that project. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And then if you are able to support Wyandotte Cares, which is a ministry that goes into our public school systems, they are doing a fundraiser this Friday. It is at Trinity Church in Upper Sandusky. I believe it's starting around 4 o'clock, but there's a flyer back there, spaghetti dinner. So if you'd like to help them out, purchase a dinner on Friday, April 14th. Also this Friday is men's mentoring moment. So every month we do a mentoring moment. We rotate men and women. So this week is men age 16 and up. And we encourage you to come out right here at the church and meet with Pastor Joe as he has an encouraging word for you and a good discussion time. So if you have questions, that's a perfect time to come. Discuss those questions together. And also for our men, every once in a while I hear men say, oh, the women do everything and women have all these events. Well, men, you have a men's conference coming up May 6th. So that is the first first Saturday in May. It's in Sydney, Ohio, starting at 9 a.m. until 3:30 p.m. So if you are interested, please RSVP for that event. There's also a flyer on the window with a phone number. You can RSVP. It is $35 for men to attend. There's food provided. It'll be a great, great time of encouragement for you men. And teenagers are free. So you teenage boys that want to go, find a man to take you. And you can get in and eat for free. And then just a couple more things for our youth, young people. You have a lock-in coming up for our teens. That is April 21st, starting in Findlay at 7 p.m. at Empower Church. Now, even if you are not a young person, we encourage you to go to the church service at 7 p.m. And then they are following up with a lock-in at the YMCA. I definitely don't do lock-ins anymore. But if you want to, you can talk to the youth director about helping as a chaperone. So that is April 21st, starting at 7 p.m. in Findlay. And then also, for our young people, we have youth camp coming up. How many of you have been to youth camp? Raise your hand if you've ever been to youth camp. Some of our older people, you've been to youth camp before, right? So that is a great time. We encourage all youth to go, if at all possible. And so we are doing fundraisers right now. If you want to sell some meat sticks, see Sister Karen. She can get you hooked up with that to raise some money for that. We want our young people to go to camp. We want them to go and learn of Jesus. So the first deadline for the cheapest cost is the end of April. So if you need to register, see our youth pastors. They will hook you up on getting registered. And we want to get those young people sent to camp. Even if they don't attend church here. You don't have to be part of the PCG. You don't have to come to this church. We will get any young person that's willing to go. We will send them to youth camp. So let us know if you know someone who's interested. And the last announcement we have is teens, you are staying in service with us today. But yeah, the other kids and nursery, we will have service for you guys during the preaching. And at this time, Pastor Caleb is coming with our call to worship scripture.
Well, good morning.
I
don't like this not being here. No, this morning we are absolutely happy to have you, and we cannot express the level of gratitude that we have that you families have came together today, not just to be here with us, but to celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
But this morning, I want to open up to you with a scripture. I know it by heart. It's my favorite scripture in the Bible. Brother Ryan knows it there. It's, every time we talk, it's on my mind. But it's easy. It's John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever will believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." You know, Wednesday night, I preached on the thought, "For God so loved," to our teens on Wednesday night. And as I was ministering, I just felt God throwing these certain scenarios. It was simple as this. To those of you that are here today, he did it for you. To the ones that are on live stream, he did it for you. To the ones that aren't here, he did it for you. To the richest person in the world, he did it for you. To the poorest person in the world, he did it for you. To all of you that living and breathing, he did it for you. For you mothers out there that are pregnant, he's done it for your baby. It doesn't matter. He came and gave his son so that we could have everlasting life. And if you think this is where it stops, you're dead wrong. It's just going to get better from here. So praise God. This morning, if you stand, we're going to pray over our tithes and offerings. If you've never been here, we have the four gray baskets right around the front. Other ways to give are posted on the TV. So let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, God, we just thank you, Jesus, for this day, God, for you just bringing us together in your name, Father, just to uplift you. Now, God, I thank you. I thank you for what you've done for me. I thank you what you've done for each and every person in this planet, Father. And God, we glorify you today for what you've done for us. But Father, right now, God, as people come and they give to your kingdom, Father, as we sow into your kingdom, I ask that you bless each and every hand that gives today, Lord. I ask that you bless the ones that cannot give. Plant seeds for the ones, God, that need seeds planted today, God. We pray that you bless these offerings to magnify you, Father. And we give you the glory and the praise and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
But I
roll.
invite you just to lift your hands as a sign of surrender and praise unto Jesus. He is so good. He is so good. If you're familiar with the 23rd Psalm, it ends with, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Surely, it is a sure thing that goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Those are promises that Jesus gives us. We are celebrating those promises today. We are celebrating life. That's what today is about. Today is about life. Life in the midst of death. Life in the midst of turmoil. Life when it seemed like it was all over and done. God said, "Not yet. Not yet." Hallelujah. I don't know if you were as moved by the testimonies as I was, but it was beautiful, wasn't it? It was a picture of God's redemption, a picture how God redeems us. The Bible says that we're new creations in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become brand new. And as Brother Scott, he was one of them that was holding a sign, and Brother Bill was another one holding the sign. They were coming up to gather the offering, and Brother Scott comes up over to me and he says, "Pretty ironic, you have a drug dealer and thief counting your money for you this morning." See, here's the thing. Here's the thing. They're not a drug dealer and thief anymore. What was is dead, and what now is something brand new that God created. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! That's life. That's life. We serve a God of second chances. We serve a God who makes things brand new. Amen? Hallelujah. And what better way to celebrate that this morning than to do a baby dedication? That's what Easter's all about. It's about life, right? And so if the family would like to come, we want to invite all of the family to come. Come on up. We're going to celebrate Oakland. Did I get the name right? Oakland? All right, good. I've been practicing. We're going to celebrate this baby by giving him back to the Lord. It's good to see you. Give me a hug, man. It's been a minute since I see my brother, so I got to give him a hug. Love you, brother. Doing this in accordance to the word of God this morning. And life is given to us by God himself. And children are a blessing, and the Bible says a heritage from the Lord. And so what we do is we take them, we receive that blessing, we receive that joy. Let me just say this. Every child is a blessing and a heritage of the Lord. Every child. I don't care how they come to be on the face of this earth. Every child. Amen? And so we're celebrating Oakland today, but we're celebrating his family and what they are doing. And that is giving them back to the Lord. You see, God gives us precious gifts. And I'll try not to preach because I want to. But God gives us precious gifts. And then he wants us to give them back to him in a form of an offering of praise and worship, saying, "Okay, God, let this bring you glory now." And that's what we do with our children. And so we have a charge we want to read to the parents and family this morning. And I just want to give a quick word of exhortation, and then Pastor Alicia is going to read the charge for you. But let us hear the word of the Lord as it comes to us in Deuteronomy 6:6-7. "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and they shall teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and thou while walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." The word of God must come out of our mouths. This is the commandment of God, that we should diligently rear our children in our most holy faith. In obedience to this command, these parents bring their child to present him to the Lord. This precedent of the ceremony of baby dedication may be found in the Holy Scriptures, as in the presentation of Samuel by Hannah and of Jesus by Joseph and Mary. Paul reminded Timothy from a child that he had known the Holy Scriptures. Jesus considered the little ones infinitely precious and said, "Suffer the little children to come to me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." The purpose of this baby dedication is really to be found in the purpose of the parents. Rightly understood, this ceremony is one of parental dedication. The parents are pledging themselves to obey the command of Paul. Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This ceremony is meaningless unless parents dedicate themselves as well as their child to God.
So a baby dedication does not save a child, but it is the family's declaration that you're going to teach this child, and that is what makes all the difference. What you're doing today can make an eternal difference for Oakland. And so as I read this, if you agree with these statements, answer, we do. This is for the parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, because you all have a part to play in pointing this child to Jesus. If it be your intention to present this child, Oakland, to the Lord, and to pledge yourselves to bring her up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, please answer, we do, to the following promises. Do you here this day recognize this child is the gift of God and give heartfelt thanks for God's blessing? Do you here this day dedicate this child to the Lord who gave her to you? Him to you, sorry. These names that can go either way just mess me up. Give him to you. Do you here this day pledge as parents that you will bring this child up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Do you here this day promise to give this child every possible benefit of home, of school, and of the church? And do you here this day ask God's blessing upon him for his life to guide, guard, and direct him through all of his years?
Stretch your hands this way. Did I turn my mic off? Stretch your hands this way. We're going to pray over baby Oakland right now. Father, we thank you for life. We thank you for his life that you've given him, Lord. God, we all know that we have been born into sin and the curse of this world. Father, we know that as he grows, he's going to come to know you. He needs to. We pronounce that over him right now, that your will, your destiny will come forth from this boy. And as he grows up to become a man, he will do the things that you have set forth in his life to be accomplished. Now we give him back to you right now as an offering of praise. We dedicate him to you, and we declare that he is yours. He belongs to you. We thank you that you will guide him, you will guard him, you will protect him, and you will keep him all the days of his life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
raise your hands, just a sign of praise unto God. Give him thanks for life this morning. Give him thanks for health this morning. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you glory and praise and honor. Thank you, guys. Hallelujah. Why don't you give the choir a hand this morning? Didn't they do an amazing job? We want to just welcome you and thank you all for being with us this morning as we celebrate the goodness of God, all that he has done, all that he is doing. You all look so beautiful in your Easter hats and Easter outfits, and so we're just thankful that you were able to come. I'm thankful that we were able to get our new parking lot done. Amen. And it's not completely finished yet. He's got some top stone he said he's going to put on it, but he was not able to get it in before because of the holiday weekend. Things closed early, so he's going to be getting some top stone down on there so it packs a little bit better and gets rid of those big rocks. But we're always making progress, amen? We're always moving forward. And not only do we do that in the natural and the things that we see, but we do that in the spiritual realm, amen? As we're growing in God and seeing God move. And so at this time, we're going to go ahead and dismiss our students to go to their class this morning. Now remember, the teens are in here. Oh, I know, the teens have to stay in here and listen to Pastor Joe. It's terrible. So talk to your youth pastors, the teen pastors, about that. That was their decision. I'm throwing them under the bus right now, and you can blame them for all of that. So how many of you know you like to have a good time in the house of the Lord? I did that just specifically for a couple boys this morning that they always let out this deep sigh every time that they're stuck in here. How many of you are glad, though, that when you were a child, you got stuck in the house of the Lord? How many of you wish when you were a child, you would have been stuck in the house of the Lord? Yeah, you see those hands, young people? And I'll never forget it. Some of you may remember her sister Madeline Bishop. She read this for Pastor Appreciation one day. She got up and read this thing, and it said, our pastor has a drug problem. And it was interesting because he was talking about how he was drugged to church and drugged to this meeting and drugged to that meeting. And if you know my father, he was raised in church just the way I was. And so, but we, as we grow up, as we draw closer to Jesus Christ and build our relationship with him, we are grateful for that. Is this mic being weird? Okay, I'm going to turn this off and let me try. All I know is I was getting the signals of this is not correct or whatever. And how many know that that's just what happens sometimes? And we always feel for the sound people because when everything goes right, nobody notices them. And then when everything goes wrong, everybody turns and looks at them like, what are you doing? We were actually having this conversation this morning. Me and Brother Ryan is like, I always just assume that they hear what I'm hearing, and I don't need to tell them. But for some reason in our humanity, many times we think they don't know, right? And so we all turn and look at them and say, hey, can you hear that? It's squealing. It's doing this. It's doing. Yeah, they hear it too, right? So how many are thankful for people who have to do the hard jobs? Yeah. I get the easy job to stand before you and give you the word of God this morning. And so I want to do that now. And if you have your Bible, I want to look at the book of Luke is where we're going to start. This is the text of my message that God gave me this morning, Luke chapter 24. And we're going to just read a few verses 4 through 6 this morning.
And if you have been coming here, you know this. Many of you have. This is your church. Some of you may watch online from time to time. We've been tracking through the six basic doctrines. And we're still doing that this morning. This is not just an Easter message, although it is an Easter message. It's not just an Easter message because it goes along with doctrine that Jesus taught us, that the Word of God teaches us. And so we've been going through those six basic doctrines, but this morning we're going to focus on the resurrection and the resurrection of the dead. And I want you to look here in this passage with me. Luke 24, verse 4 says this, "While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen.'" Hallelujah. "Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee." Now, I love the wording of that because it doesn't say while he was still with you. Because guess what? He was still with them. They just hadn't seen him yet. They hadn't come in contact with him. But he was alive. He was not dead. He was not there. He was not in the place where they thought they would find him. Because in the very last hour or so it seemed, God did something that we think is unthinkable. God did something that we proclaim is impossible. And he brought the dead person back to life. The Bible teaches us these things, and we need to know and understand them and hold fast to them. And so we're going to deal with resurrection this morning. But I want to reiterate to you the passage of Scripture that has been our theme through this series, and it's found in Hebrews chapter 6. It's just verses 1 and 2, and it says this, "Therefore, let us leave the elementary or the basic doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again." Now, here are the basic doctrines, because he says we don't want to go over these again, but we want to move past these. But these are where they're listed or grouped into Scripture for us. "The foundation of repentance from dead works," that's the first one, repentance from dead works, "and faith towards God," that's number two, "of instructions about washings or instructions on baptism, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment." These are the six basic doctrines that God's given us. And in his word, these are the foundational teachings of Jesus Christ. You need to understand this. And so this morning we're dealing with resurrection of the dead. And I want to tell you this, that if you do not believe in the resurrection, then you're going to find it hard to call yourself a Christian. Some people may go, "Well, I don't know if I agree with you, Pastor." Well, let's see. If we believe that Jesus is God or was God, and that he did everything that he said he would do, and as Christians, that means that we are followers of Christ, Jesus, right? Then for us to believe him, we must believe in the resurrection, because he proclaimed that he would come back and return back to life. He told them these things before it happened. He told them that I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to be placed in a tomb. But don't worry. I will rise from the dead. Now, here's what's interesting. There were people at that time that was a religious group. There was actually two of them. One were called the Pharisees. The other were called the Sadducees. And the Pharisees believed in the supernatural power of God. They believed that miracles still happened. They believed that miracles worked. And therefore, the Pharisees believed in the resurrection. They believed that there was going to be a resurrection even before Jesus came and showed himself. You have to understand that. Then there was another group called the Sadducees. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. Matter of fact, they had a hard time believing in the supernatural power of God. And I don't know if they were a group that just believed that the miracles of Moses, because they taught them, they read them, they looked at them, they studied them. So all the miracles of Moses that they had studied, I don't know if they believed that that was just for that day and not for their day. Pastor Darius, you know where I'm going with this. But they did not believe in the supernatural power of God that he could raise someone from the dead. Leonard Ravenhill said it like this. He said, the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. That's why they're sad, you see? That'll help you remember which group believed what. They didn't believe in that. They didn't believe in that power. Now, stay with me here. I'm not going to try to put down anyone this morning, but I need you to get a hold of this. There are groups of people in the Christian world that will tell you that the miracle working power of God, that the gifts of the Spirit that moves through the body of Christ was only for the apostles, it was only for them, it's not for today. It's not for us today in the church. They will tell you that. Just like the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection, but yet they believed in the miracles that Moses had performed. These people believe in the first church and all the miracles that took place in the first church, but they don't believe that they're here for today. I have news for you. If the Bible says this, and it does, it says that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now lives inside of us, then that Spirit is still a Spirit that has power to do miracles, has power to do the unthinkable, it has power to do the impossible, and it's still resurrection power. And so what I'm declaring to you today is the truth of the Bible. We must believe in the resurrection. You saw testimonies presented before you. We sang songs this morning about it. That there is something that happens within the human heart, that all of a sudden they go from death to life. Listen, there's a TV show. I've never seen it, so I don't know anything about it except for what I've seen on commercials. It's called The Walking Dead. And some of you will go, yeah, that's a bunch of foolishness. It's not true. There are no such thing as zombies, blah, 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 blah. Well, you're right in the sense of the way they display it. But can I tell you that we live among the walking dead? I used to be one myself. You did too. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and every one of us needed a Savior. His name is Jesus, and the day I met Jesus is the day I came to life and I stopped walking in this dead state and I come a brand new person. I came alive unto God. And so it's important that we believe in the resurrection. Now, I told you that if we do not believe in the resurrection, then we cannot believe in Jesus. So let's look at this. Today we're going to focus on this doctrine of the resurrection of the dead, all right? And I want you to go with me to John chapter 11, verse 25. Because this is important. Because there are some people who will say, well, Jesus didn't really say that. Jesus really didn't do this. They're just projecting on that Jesus and onto Jesus, and sometimes they may be right about Scripture. Sometimes people have misinterpreted Scripture, they don't understand it, and they project things that are not what Jesus did or Jesus said upon him. But let's look at this passage this morning, and let's see what Jesus said for himself about the resurrection, all right? The Bible says this, Jesus said, everyone say, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Now, this is the opposite or the contrast of what I was just telling you, that we are dead in our trespasses and sin. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that. We were not living. We were dead. And it wasn't that we were drowning in the sea of the uttermost darkness and Jesus came and threw us a lifeline and he's our life saver. While that may preach well, it's not the truth. The truth is that we were already at the bottom of the sea. We were dead. We were a lifeless body laying there. We were drowned in our sin and sickness and the curse of this world. And one day Jesus came and rose us up by his Holy Spirit from the bottom of that utter dark sea. He pulled us out from there. He put us on the lifeboat. He breathed his breath into us. And all of a sudden, we who were dead came back to life. That's the truth what happens. But this is also a statement of the same degree, but in reverse. He's saying that you may be living right now, but then something may happen to you and you will die. But know this, that if you die in faith in Jesus Christ, being the Son of God, being the crucified lamb that was slain for you, for your sin, know this, that you will also rise again one day and you will live eternally. Because this life that we now live is only temporary. Because let me tell you something. I don't know about you, but I don't want this to be heaven. If this is heaven, heaven's not very fun sometimes. Heaven's not very good sometimes. The older I get, the more my bones crack. I don't want to live forever in this body. There are people who get on my nerves here. I don't want this to be heaven. I'm looking for something greater than where we are here. And he says that we have eternal life through him because he is the resurrection and the life. So if we believe in that and we receive that, that means that we're going to another place from here. This is not my home, is what the Bible teaches us. I'm only passing through until I get to walk across the gates and across those that golden sidewalk that's pure. I get to step into glory and then I get to see Jesus face to face. It's on those hard days. It's on the frustrating days that I remind myself of this. And the proof that this will happen is the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. Now listen to this. I got to get through some of this doctrinal stuff and I got to get through the scripture so you know that I have a foundation of what I'm preaching. I'm not just pulling this out of thin air. This is not my thought. This is what the Bible says. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm just highlighting these passages for you, and I encourage you, take notes. You can look this up on YouVersion Bible app. We have all of this down there in a live event, and you can go back and read the whole portions of these scriptures and even tell me where I got it wrong. Do it. You know why? Because that means I'm challenging you to read the Word. And I'm not perfect. I may be getting something wrong, but this is the understanding I have right now. So I want you to go and dig in deep. Learn about who Jesus is, right? And come and tell me everything I said wrong. Because I like having discussions about Jesus. Amen? So the Bible says this, "For I delivered to you," this is Paul speaking to the Corinthian church under the unction of the Holy Spirit. "For I have delivered to you as of first importance," everyone say first importance. That means this is the important stuff, right? This is what's needful. "What I also received." So he's saying that I'm giving you what was given to me, and this is of the first importance. This is what is needful. This is the foundational stuff. This is where we start. You can't start building without this. If you do, your house will fall apart, right? So he says this, "that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures." Now remember this, the scriptures he's talking about are not the scriptures we're reading. He was writing those scriptures. He's talking about the Old Testament scriptures that they already had. So in the Old Testament, the Bible even teaches us that there was one coming called the Messiah. And he would sacrifice and die for us, for our sins, for our justification, for our redemption, so that we could be pulled out of that life of sin and that deadness and be translated into his glory and be made alive in him. And so while I don't have time to go into it this morning, we cannot celebrate today if we don't first have Good Friday. And I'm not one of those preachers that's scared to talk about the blood. And the truth is, we hear about that more than we actually hear the truth. Because I'm going to tell you, I think there's a lot more of us that are willing to preach about the blood than there are more of us that are scared to. You say, really? Yeah, really. I think so. The squeaky wheel gets the grease. And when you're doing things right, nobody says anything. But we're hearing about these ones that don't want to preach about the blood so that it will distract us and deter us and separate us and tear the church and the body of Christ apart. But I got news for you. There's still a lot of us that believe in the blood. There's still a lot of us that are blood bought, sanctified by Christ, saved by the crucifixion of the cross. Amen? And there's still a lot of us that are still preaching it. So don't buy into the lie of the devil that there ain't anybody out there preaching. I got news for you. You heard a bald-headed guy preaching it this morning. The blood is still real. We need the blood. We plead the blood. If we don't have the blood, we don't have anything. But if we don't have Good Friday, where he's crucified, then we cannot have Sunday, the resurrection from the dead. And that's the part that they didn't understand. They stood there and they perceived and they watched Jesus being put to death. They didn't understand it because they had their hope put in something else. They had their focus in something else. And all of a sudden, that focus and that world was beginning to fall apart before their very eyes. Because they couldn't believe in what God was teaching them through Jesus Christ, they didn't understand that Sunday was coming. We're on the backside of that. We know the rest of the story, but they didn't. And so the first thing that we have to understand is Jesus had to go to the cross and die for our sins. This was according to the scripture. The next thing is this, that when he died, he was buried. Now, some people might think, well, what's the big deal of that? Of course. Well, there's a big difference. Listen to me. Let me just deal with some context in scripture for you for a minute. There's a big difference in someone dying and coming back to life who wasn't buried versus someone dying and was buried and coming back to life. So what do you mean, Pastor? Well, you see, this is before modern medical things that we had. This was before we had the doctoring that we have today. It's before we had all the machines to tell if someone was really living or not. And so there were times where they thought people were dead, but they hadn't buried them. And next thing you know, these people were not dead. They were still alive. Whatever sickness, whatever disease, whatever happened to them, whatever accident took place, it didn't take their life. Though they thought it took their life, it didn't take their life. So the importance of the burial is this, that they gave every opportunity for Jesus to come back to life to prove that he didn't die. And if he doesn't die, then sin is not put to death. So we have to understand that he did die, and we know he died because he was buried. He was buried. That's important. They placed him in a borrowed tomb. That's also important. Why was it borrowed? Because he wasn't planning on keeping it very long. I got a trailer in my driveway right now. It's borrowed. I'm not keeping it. I'm returning it. It takes up too much room. I need it for a moment, but I'm getting rid of it after I'm done with it. Jesus didn't need the tomb long term. He only used it for a minute, and then when he was done with it, he got rid of it. You understand? So the burial is just as important as the death because it proves that he was dead. And why is all the proof of him being dead so important? Well, because you can't have a resurrection if someone isn't dead. Sin isn't put to death. Life does not return. None of this happens. And therefore, then the whole point of our gospel truth that we proclaim, the good news of Jesus Christ, becomes null and void. If we don't have the blood, if we don't have the cross, if we don't have the tomb, if we don't have the resurrection, then we don't have a living God. You follow me this morning? So the foundational basic doctrine that there is resurrection from the dead is something that we must believe in as Christians. And I'll be so bold to tell you this. If you don't believe it, then you're not a Christian. Not because Pastor Joe said that, because the Bible said that. We must believe in the resurrection. We must understand that this is a foundational truth. It happened. And here's, just let me go into this a little bit longer, and then I'm going to move forward to what God has me to do this morning for you. But do you know that every form of evidential proof that they had of their day, not today, not now, but their day, do you know that every one of them was crossed off the list to prove that Jesus died, was buried, and came back to life? Do you know that? If they had the medical proof that we do today, they would have shown it. But they didn't have it. Their only form of proof they had was of witnesses and eyewitnesses. Now, here's the thing. They found very high validity, or said that this has to be true, if there was an eyewitness that saw it. All right? That's how they operated in that day. But listen to this. It even moved up a notch higher than that. And they said it has to be true if it was an eyewitness of someone that already knew the person before the incident happened. So for instance, I know Ryan. I know his face. I know his body language. I even know his stride and how he walks. I cannot even see his face, but I can see him down the road walking in the back and say, that's Ryan Klaus. Have you ever been there before? Because you know somebody. And if I saw him go into hometown market and steal a bucket of chicken and not pay for it, I would know that was Ryan. Because I personally know him and I saw it happen. Right? I'm an eyewitness, but it even goes up a notch because I have a relationship with him. I've known him for years now, right? So check this out. This was their highest form of proof in that day. And it wasn't just people who had saw him from afar. Listen to me. It wasn't just people who had attended one of his preaching events, one of his things that he held on the Sermon on the Mount. Well, you know, I was in the 54th row out of thousands of people, and I could barely see him, but I was there and saw him, and then I saw him walking around alive, so therefore it had to be proof. No, it wasn't those people. It was the people that for 3.5 years lived with this man. Every day they walked from town to town to village with this man. They knew him. They saw him. They knew how he walked. They knew how he looked. They knew how he acted. And when he came back to life, that's who saw him living. So evidential proof of the day, even for scholars, says that it is infallible. The resurrection had to happen. Let's take it even a step further. These people gave their life for this. Not only did they witness and say, yes, this is the man, this is the Christ, this is the Messiah that I walked with, that I ministered with, that I traveled through Israel with and saw him do many mighty works. They didn't just say that, but then when push comes to shove and the proverbial gun was held to their head, they said, yes, Jesus is alive. I don't care what you do to me. I don't care what you say about me. Jesus is alive because I saw him with my own eyes. You see, the resurrection happened. It doesn't matter how many people now, naysayers, try to debunk it, try to say, oh, no, it's not real. The resurrection happened. And here's what's even crazy about it. When he died and said it was finished, and the ground shake. You can find this in the book of Matthew. The ground shook. The veil in the temple was ripped in two different pieces. The glory of the Lord was no longer held in a building, but now it was let out for everyone to experience. When all that happened, do you realize that there were people, renowned people is what the Bible said. That means people that were known, that came back to life, and they came out of those tombs. They were the first fruits of the resurrection. And there were eyewitnesses of them. So I got news for you. Resurrection power still exists. Wasn't just for the Bible days. It's still happening today. And so the thought that I've been preaching to you on besides this doctrine is this. You can't find him there. You can't find him there. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean this. They went to the tomb. They went to death. They went to where they thought death lived, expecting to find Jesus, their fearless leader, and the glory of God came down in the form of an angel. What is an angel? He's a messenger. He said, hey, why are you looking for the living among the dead? You can't find him here. He is risen. This is our status quo as human beings. I want you to listen to me because I'm bringing this down to a close here so you can get a hold of this. This isn't my closing. I'm bringing it to a close. All right? You know how when you're flying and they're not landing yet, but they get on there and they say, we're approaching our descent? That's me right now. I'm not landing, but I'm approaching my descent. Sometimes it takes 15 minutes, sometimes 5 minutes, but I'm approaching my descent, okay? Can't find him there. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Now catch this. In our humanity, don't you dare blame Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, the other woman named Mary, for looking for Jesus among the dead. You know why you can't blame them? Because you did it too. You did it too. I did it. You did it. We've all done it. We've looked for Jesus in dead things. We look for him through means that have been come into existence by the curse of this world. And we think we're going to find happiness. We think we're going to find joy. We think we're going to find peace. You see, when you're looking for all those things come by only a person, and his name is Jesus. Love, joy, peace. They are Jesus. They are the essence of who he is. It is part of his holiness. And as you're searching for them, you know, we even have in our Constitution the pursuit of happiness. Well, actually, that was the Declaration of Independence. The pursuit of happiness. We're pursuing happiness, right? That's what we think. And we're always looking. We're always searching. We're always trying to find. And we go to the only thing we know. We go to our habits. We go to the things that we've been shown before us. And so what did they do? Mary Magdalene and the other woman named Mary, they go to the tomb. Why? Because that's what they did. When people died, they would go to the tomb and they would dress their body with perfumes and ointments so that the body would take longer to start stinking. And this was their savior. This was the man that they followed. This was the man that they loved. This was the man that they were giving everything for. And now he's dead and they're all turned up. Their life is turned around. Their life is turned upside down. They don't know what to do. So they go back and do the very basic things that humanity has taught them to do. That their situations in life have taught them to do, what they've seen other people do. And let me tell you something, every one of those things are dead works. What we learn in this society is deadness. And we repeat this deadness over and over and over and over again. Can I tell you, you won't find him there. Some of us have sought for peace and comfort and contentment at the bottom of a bottle. You can't find him there. Some of us have taken the syringe and stuck it in our body, trying to find some type of relief from our pain and agony. You can't find him there. Some of us have looked face after face, looking for love. Remember that old country western song? Looking for love in all the wrong places. Looking for love in all the wrong faces. You saw person after person after person after person looking for love. You can't find him there. Let's take it a step further. Some of you think what will fix it is let's go shopping. A little bit of retail therapy. All my ladies say, amen. Guess what, husbands? They can't find him there. I would if I could, brother. I would if I could. He said, make him quit looking. So then we go, we clean our lives up. Let's just leave all of the terrible, sinful things that we always point out, right? What about the next promotion? Oh, if I can just get this next promotion and make this much money, then I will be content. I'll be settled. Everything will be good. Guess what? You can't find him there. Well, if I get this new house, forget about the job. That didn't work. What I need to do is I need to buy this new house. And when I get in this new house, it will have everything I want. It'll make my life so easy. It'll be perfect. I will finally have peace of mind. I'll have a high-tech security system so I don't have to worry about my family. They're going to be safe. Everything is good. You can't find him there. Well, I'll buy the new, latest new car, the car of my dreams that I've always wanted. I'll go out and I'll purchase that. And when I get that thing, then I can go around like all them church people and say, I'm blessed and highly favored. Look at the car I drive. You can't find him there. Why? Because all of those things are dead. None of those things are living. They only lead to death. You will spend your money. You will work your fingers to the bone to try to make more money. You will buy this. You will buy that. You will drink this. You will drink that. You'll smoke this. You'll smoke that. You'll shoot up this. You'll shoot up that. You'll swallow this pill and that pill, and you will never find him there. Amen. Why? Why can't you find him there? Because those are tombs. They're tombs. Even if you think it's a good thing, it's a tomb. It's a tomb that's leading you down a path of death and eternal destruction. And you will be locked up in that tomb. And if you deny the very thing you're looking for, you will never get out of that tomb. Now listen to me very closely. You see, we all, I'm sure many of you have heard this before. We all have this God-shaped hole in our life. And we will do anything and everything we can to try to fill that hole. But at the end of the day, it can't fill it. It's not big enough to fill it. It's not grand enough to fill it. It's not powerful enough to fill it. You may find temporary satisfaction for a moment, but then you will find out it's gone. It's no longer there anymore. And so you'll move on to the next thing, thinking that that thing is going to give you the satisfaction you're looking for. Man, I'm all over the place this morning. I just thought about the Rolling Stones. I can't get no satisfaction. Told you, I'm all over the place, singing old country songs, old rock songs. Lord Jesus, help me. You can do that in church? I don't know. That's what I'm hearing. Maybe it's because that's where we've looked for stuff. But we can't find him there. And all along, what we don't realize is we're not looking for something. We're looking for someone. His name is Jesus. And we will do everything we can. We'll go everywhere we want to go. We'll try it all. People have traveled the world trying to find us and still not find it. It's because you can't find him there. Because it's all dead. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Now, you all think that this is a sinner's message for repentance, for people who don't know Jesus. You're wrong. Why would we return? Oh, listen to me, church. Why would we return to dead works after we have already received life from Jesus? Why would we go back to the very things that we think are going to bring happiness that don't bring happiness? We tried that. It failed. It didn't work. But yet we keep trying to run back to that. And the Holy Spirit is calling you and telling you, you can't find him there. You're not going to find peace and contentment anywhere else except for Jesus Christ. You're not going to find true love anywhere else except for Jesus Christ. Did you read the cardboard posters this morning that span the front of this building of all the things that happened to them? Some of them things that others did to them, and they were not even guilty of, but other people who were searching for something tried to do it to someone else. They hurt them. They attacked them. It was awful. And yet in the midst of that, in the midst of their pain, in the midst of their heartache, when they were searching for answers themselves, they couldn't find them in the things that I've listed. But can I tell you, when you're searching, when you're looking, when your heart is hungry, there'll come a moment where you won't find anything, but someone named Jesus will find you. Yeah. You see, the truth is we think we find Jesus. No, he finds us. He finds us. We're lost. We're roaming around. We're wandering around in life. We have no direction. We have no understanding. We have no purpose at all. But I got news for you. When Jesus finds you, all of a sudden everything changes. So I don't know if I believe that, Pastor. Well, let's look at the activities after the resurrection. Mary Magdalene went looking for Jesus in the tomb. She couldn't find him in the tomb. So she's distraught. She's weeping and she's crying. And she thinks, they've stolen my Savior's body. They've stolen him. They've taken him from me. If you've ever had something stolen from you, you understand how she felt at that moment. I don't care what it was. If something was taken from you, you understand how that feels. And that's how she felt at that moment. And in her lowest moment, her lowest of her low, that she's like, man, this is the guy who rescued me, cast out devils from me, and he was my hope, and now it's gone. It's been taken from me. It's stripped, and I can't even anoint his body like I want to. Where did they take him? In the midst of that, that's where Jesus found her. He comes up and begins to talk to her, and she thinks he's the gardener until he calls her name. Oh, hallelujah. When he called her name, he said, Mary. She was like, oh, I know that voice. I know who that is. I've heard him call my name before. He found her. The two brothers on their way to Emmaus, they're walking down the road and they're talking about everything that's happened. And all of a sudden, someone comes up and joins them. And he goes, what are you guys talking about? What are you talking about? You haven't heard? I mean, this is only the biggest news. It was on CNN. It was on Fox. It was on ABC. It was on New York Times front page. Every big paper, every big magazine's been talking about. All of Jerusalem is talking about it. And you haven't heard about this? This guy that we thought he's the one, he's got to be the one. They took him and they killed him. They crucified him. Lo and behold, when they were lost and they thought that they were just on their way to some city trying to figure out what was going on, the guy that they were talking to was the man they were talking about. He found them. He found them. You see, they thought that the political things of the day, oh, I'm hitting on some stuff now. They thought that they were going to find all the answers in the political realm of the world. We're going to raise Jesus up to this great power. He's going to be the king. He's going to come in. He's going to take over. He's going to conquer the Romans. And my political party is going to win. You can't find him there. You can't find him there. But if you're truly searching, these two guys talking about it, truly searching, what is going on here? In the midst of that, Jesus finds them. Get this, I got a third one for you. Ready? Probably a fourth one too. I'm still easing my descent. Then the disciples were gathered in a room. They're hiding, really. If you read scripture correctly, they're hiding. They're scared. It's locked. No one can get in. And they're depressed and sorrowful and feeling sorry for themselves. Trying to figure out this news that they heard. And when they go and look at the tomb, it's empty too. And they don't know what to do about it. They're confused about it. They got these guys who look like angels that freaked them out when they talked to them, saying, Jesus isn't here. Well, obviously, we've seen the tomb's empty. Where is he? Where did they move his body? They're still thinking dead thoughts. And in the midst of their depression, in the midst of their anxiety and worry that if they kill Jesus, they're going to come after us too. I mean, guys, we've been walking with him for 3.5 years. They know our faces. Let's lock that door. I'm preaching to somebody right now. Listen to me. Every wall you put up, every lock you put on your heart, everything that you think you're doing to keep yourself safe, well, they'll never hurt me again like that. I'll never let anybody treat me like that again. I'll never open myself up again like that to receive that. Every wall you build, you can't find him there. You can't find the security and safety. You're only going to find more anxiety and worry. But guess what? In the midst of their pain and heartache, in the midst of their walls that they had put up, in the midst of the locks they had locked, Jesus finds them there. You see, Jesus can pass through any locked door. He opens the door no man can open and closes the door no man can close. Jesus can pass through any wall you put up. Jesus will find you right where you are. Jesus is looking for you. My last one, after the resurrection, there's old Peter. Thought he was such a great leader. Going to take on the world. Draw my sword and I'll take this guy out if he's going to try to take my Savior. Cut the ear off of Malchus. Was bold. Everyone want to say that he's a coward. I don't see a coward in that guy. Well, he denied him 3 times. Yeah, after Jesus told him not to fight for him, he was confused. He didn't know what to do. So he put his sword away and he watched. And he watched from afar. He didn't know what was going on. And so now he's trying to backpedal. And so all the guys are looking at him because he's the loudmouth that has been the leader with Jesus from the beginning, right? So they say, well, what are we going to do now, Peter? He's dead and they say he's risen, but what's going on here? We saw him, but we don't know what to do. And what's he say? I'm just going to go fishing. He returned back to the very thing that Jesus saved him from the moment that Jesus first found him. What was Jesus doing? Or what was Peter doing when Jesus came? He was fishing. He'd been fishing all night, didn't catch anything. And Jesus said, push off and cast the net on the other side. And he's like going, listen, man. I do this for a living. There ain't no fish out there. But at your word. And they got so many fish, it was breaking the nets. That was his first interaction. He calls him Lord, and he says, you need to leave. I'm a sinful man. I don't even have a right to be in your sight. After all the stuff that he'd walked through with Jesus, after it's all said and done, he says, and he denies him and all this. He's like, I'm just going to go back fishing. He returned to the very thing he knew. Peter couldn't find him there. But there was someone standing on the banks of the shore going, hey, come in. He couldn't catch anything again, right? Couldn't find him there. So they come in, and the closer they got, Peter goes, oh, wait a minute, guys. I know that guy. He found me again. He can't eat. He's beside himself. He jumps out of the boat and swims to shore so he can be with Jesus. Jesus found him again. You see, we have to stop church. We have to stop searching for Jesus in dead things. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Why? He's not there. He is risen. Guess what? When we believe in the resurrection, we get a hold of this in our heart. We're not there anymore either. Doesn't matter how many tombs that we have lived in. We don't, listen, coming to church is not about whitewashing yourself. That's what Jesus called them. He called the Pharisees whitewashed tombs. You look good on the outside, but on the inside you have dead man's bones. You can't even find Jesus in religious activities. You can't come to church every Sunday just to come to church every Sunday and find Jesus. No. You got to start loving Jesus. You got to get desperate and say, I need over this stuff in my life. And then Jesus will find you. And he will set you free. So it ain't about looking right, looking the part, acting right. It's about being real and saying, I need a Savior. And he will find you there. And then you get to live life. The Bible says life more abundantly. That means that someone has an abundance of something, so they give away the excess. Well, Jesus has so much life, it's more than an abundance. It just keeps flowing and flowing and flowing and flowing. It's his very essence. And when we stay in contact with Jesus, we live in this life. See, the very thing that we're all searching for is him. It's him. It's funny because they only want to talk about the bad people that go to church. Isn't it interesting? Well, you know that church. They're full of a bunch of hypocrites. Well, hello? Where else are they going to go to get Jesus? They don't talk about them at Walmart. Well, you know, I saw Ryan at Walmart, but guess what? I also saw him at Meijer. How hypocritical. Acting like he supports Walmart when I saw him buying stuff over at Meijer, too. No one says that. Everyone thinks you're crazy if you say something like that. Where do people who need help need to come? Church. My prayer is that they find Jesus here because he's in me. And if he's in me, and if he's in you, and if we're living life with Jesus, then they find life. They don't find some dead thing. Listen, I don't celebrate Easter all somber like, oh, I'm so thankful Jesus died for me. I'm saying, hey, he's alive! Pumps me up. I serve a living God, not a dead God. Amen. You can't find his tomb because he's not there. There's no memorial in Jerusalem to the tomb of Jesus. They'll take you there and they'll have all kinds of tours. And one tour will take you to this tomb. Another tour will take you to this tomb. Another tour will take you to the tomb over there. And some other tour will take you to the tomb over there. And they'll all tell you, we think this is where Jesus was buried. But they don't know because he's not there.
Woo, glory. We serve a living God. All right, I'm closing. Stand to your feet. I land fast. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I just heard the Holy Ghost tell me, if you don't stop now, Joe, you won't stop. So you just better stop. It's abruptly, but we land. Suddenly, it's a suddenly, right? How many of you have been encouraged today? How many know that Jesus is alive? How many of you want to walk with Jesus? How many of you understand that this is where you find life? That look, there's no promise that you won't go through hardship. There's no promise you won't go through difficulties. There's no promise of that. The promise is that every one of them that you face, Jesus is with you. Because he's been there, done that. You realize that he died? He's the only one we know that actually died. He's the only person I know that actually died and I can still talk to. Because he came back to life. I don't have my earthly father anymore because my earthly father died. I have hope that I will see him again because I believe in the resurrection. But I can't talk to Bob Turner anymore. But I can talk to Jesus every moment of every day. Because he's alive. You can't find him there. Can't find him there. Can't find him in all those places. But he can find you. He can find you. And there are lost souls. Listen to me, church. There's lost souls that are looking for the man named Jesus. They don't know they are, but they are. They're the lost sheep. They're the lost coin. Jesus finds them valuable. He will leave the 99 to find the one. He's searching for them. Our job as the church is to keep praying. Keep praying, because what that does is it feeds the hounds. When you pray, it feeds the hounds. The hounds aren't wanting to quit anymore. They're going to say, no, I'm on this trail, and I'm going to keep hunting them down. I'll keep hunting them down and give opportunity after opportunity after opportunity for them to say, okay, yes, I make you Lord and Savior. If you're here this morning and you've never done that, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Now listen, I'm not one of those guilt preachers. I'm not going to try to get you all emotional, make you feel bad, and get you to come down here and pray. This is a choice you make with God. So I'm going to even tell you some better news. If you don't receive salvation today, even though it's available for you today, guess what? It's still available for you tomorrow. When you're thinking about this crazy Pentecostal preacher that preached this message on Easter Sunday, you think about, well, I've been searching, but I don't know what I'm searching for. It's Jesus. And if you don't find him tomorrow, and he doesn't find you tomorrow, and you don't receive him as Savior tomorrow, the next day salvation is available. That's why the scripture is so perfect when it says, today is the day of salvation. It didn't say Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, or Sunday. Today. Not tomorrow, because tomorrow never comes. Today. Each new day is an opportunity for Jesus to find you. All you have to do is receive him when he does. Some of you may be prodigals. Maybe like a Peter, who Jesus found me, but because my life was turned upside down, I didn't know what was going on, didn't know what to do. I went my own way. I went chasing after my own things, and I've left. And I've taken what was given to me, and I've spent it all. And now I find myself in this pit again. You know what you do? You know the way back home, because you've been there before. So you turn around and you just come back home. It's what you do. You say, but that's so hard. No, it's so easy. It's so easy. The lie is that it's hard.
The lie is that you have to leave everyone else and you're going to turn to people who don't care about you. You're going to turn to people who are mad at you because you forsook them. Are you kidding me? Listen, I'll be the first one to tell you, I've been a prodigal before. I was the elder brother. We don't think about him as a prodigal, but he was. I was the one still in the church house, there every Sunday, every Wednesday, and not serving God, not pleasing God, not living for God, not doing what I was supposed to do. I had to come back to him too. The preacher, oh my goodness. Yes, we all. It's not as hard as the devil's telling you it is. Just come back home. Now, we've been praying every week. We've been praying. And this time I'm going to close this service. And I know some of you think, well, Pastor, you should give an altar call for the unsaved to get saved. I did. Go think about it. You're watching online because it's Easter. You needed to find a church to watch on Easter. Go think about it. Count the cost. How much is this going to cost me? You say, well, that's not how we do it. No, but that's how Jesus did it. Jesus said, I'm not so sure you want to follow me. You better figure that out because where I'm going is tough. But it's the only place that we find life. And that's what Peter said. Where else would I go? You're the only one with the words of life. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to do what we've been doing every Sunday since we've committed to do this. We're going to pray for the lost. We're going to pray for the prodigals. We're going to pray for our city, our nation, that people get saved. But we're also going to pray for laborers. Because when we talked about the lost sheep and Jesus was moved compassion because they were sheep with no shepherd, what did he say? Pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into the harvest to reap the harvest. So we're going to pray for that this morning too. We're going to pray for this new church plant that we're having, the Hispanic church plant. And we're going to believe God, that God is joining more people to our body. We're believing for 10%. That's what he promised us. 10% of our city would be saved and we would see it saved. And we're going to go storm the gates of hell and they will not prevail against us. Amen. Who wants to believe with me this morning that people are going to get saved? People are going to get rescued. People are going to get delivered. Not because we tricked them into it, but because Jesus found them and they received Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come before you and we plead the blood of Jesus over these lives right now. You see the people that have put names on the cards that I handed out, that they're reaching one, teaching one, that they believe, God, that you're moving in this person's life, that they are holding them up in prayer, and we hold them up together right now in prayer. We believe that you're rescuing souls from eternal death and you're giving them eternal life right now in the name of Jesus. We declare souls being saved right now. We declare prodigals coming home right now in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, help them come to themselves and realize that they need to come back to the Father. But God, I pray right now that you will provoke us to love and good works, as your word says, that we will go forth as laborers in the fields to reap the harvest, that we will be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in our life. And as we have true life, as we have abundance of life, we will give it to others and they will receive you, Jesus, that you will find them through our words. You will find them through our reaching into their lives, Lord. We proclaim it in the name of Jesus right now. We thank you that you're adding to your kingdom. We thank you that you're building your kingdom. And the gates of hell will not prevail. They will not stop us. Because light overtakes the darkness every time. We proclaim it right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for a tenth right now. We thank you for a tenth right now. We give you praise for it. Now, God, do you see these people who do not have a faith community? They do not have a church to go to. And you see our heart for them. You see the love we have for the Hispanic people in Wyandotte County. God, we've been praying for them and we've been looking for them, Lord. God, I pray that you will just bless this church plant right now. God, let us do nothing unless you tell us to do it. Let us operate with your hand upon us. And let us reach into yet another community for the gospel's sake to see you glorified. God, I thank you for every heart and soul that's here on this Resurrection Sunday. I thank you for the time of celebration that we've had. But God, I pray that as we leave this place, we will remember the words that have been spoken, the words that have been sung, the testimonies that have been shared. Lord, that it will impact our life and we will stop looking for things that we don't need and you will find us, God. Even those of us that have been saved for 50 years, let us not look in dead places for you, but let us find the living God where life is. We speak blessing upon every person here. Cover them, keep them safe. May your face shine upon them and give them peace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. God bless you. Happy Resurrection Sunday, and we will see you guys next time. Have a great day.